Now, the greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, we're the greatest story never told podcast. Available on radio.com. Sponsored by Astroglide. Or whoever it was. We didn't get any emails this week on potential sponsorships.
It's always Astroglide to me.
Either way. If you'd like to be a potential sponsor, just shoot us an email to men's room at mensroomlive.com. Make sure you put or KSW.com, whatever the hell it is. You'll find it. But let us know you made a donation to the two local fisher houses, or the three local fisher houses, and we'll hook you up as the unofficial sponsor. As we celebrate 50 years of KISW here at The Rock, this would have been our 15th year on the radio station, I believe.
We started,
15 years.
November of 2005. So, yeah, this is the beginning of our 16th year.
So we're starting to look back at some of the stuff.
As Mike just indicated to me.
That we've done in the past. And we play some of the stuff for you every once in a while. But we have a few old things that we dig through and look at. And just, it's really hard to listen to yourself, first of all. I can't believe you people do it. Because, you know, like, we drive ourselves nuts in here. It's like, it's just what it is. You know, you hear your own voice. You're like, oh, God.
Everybody does.
You hate yourself. Awful. Why'd I cut in on that? Why'd I say that thing stupid? You just become really overly critical, right? Mm-hmm. So this is kind of hard to go back and listen to this old stuff because, number one, we were much younger.
And we sound like it.
Our voices are much different. Our style is much different. You got to remember, we're coming on after Howard Stern at this point in time. This is a hot talk radio station.
Right, right.
Don and Mike in the afternoon. Tom Likas at night. Because on the East Coast, Tom was an afternoon show. On the West Coast, he was a night show there because they put him on live.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go, Timmy. It was that kind of radio. So our show was a bit different back then as far as the style and everything else. And we had a ton of guests on. I want to say our show was 5 hours, wasn't it, at one point in time before we got to cut it down a little bit?
No, we were four.
We were four? Okay.
Yeah.
It seemed like forever, right?
It was different because we literally, through the course of doing our show, at least three times a week, when you look through the glass, our bosses, two of them, would stand out there with their arms folded, waiting to talk to us when we went to break, because they were, because they would get mad. We had to lock them out of the studio once. They were really pissed, because we knew they would force us to shut the show down. And I remember this particular episode, but we had Ted lock the door. To the studio, they just couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And basically for 4 hours, they're like screaming at us.
We just figured we get fired, we get out of there. Yeah. That was the idea. Anyway, so we had a ton of guests. We typically would have 2 to 3 guests per day on our show. And it was anything from people pushing their stuff. I think some of the things I read on here were J.J. Walker. We still have that one from Good Times.
He sucked.
He did suck.
He did. Not only did he suck, but here's the thing about J.J. Walker. The only thing you know him from, aside from dating Ann Coulter.
I was going to say, that is a bizarre one.
Cannot wrap my head. Well, I think she likes, you know. But he was on Good Times, and his catchphrase was dynamite, right? That's what he said. Mm-hmm. It's like Fonzie saying, hey, all right, so his publicist person, whoever the hell it is you talk to, the difficult people before you talk to the guest, said, hey, the one thing you can't do with him or bring up or talk about is him saying dynamite. And in our minds, we're like, there's nothing else to talk to him about. Right. But he's there promoting a book, and the name of the book was something like dynamite.
Mm-hmm. Like, so we, depending on what people were doing, we would take them. And believe me, when you found somebody who you thought, hey, this is going to be a great interview, it typically turned out that it wasn't the greatest interview in the world. And then when you did an interview with somebody who you're like, well, maybe on the fence about it, just maybe your interest isn't all the way in, but you're going to do your research and do the interview. Anyway, it was one of the funniest things ever. It just depends on who you get, what the day is, all those things. Right. You never know, Vince.
Ooh, you're going to talk to someone from Motley Crue?
Sweet. That would be awesome. You know what I mean? And we weren't really, we get those every once in a while. But
Joe Perry from Aerosmith. He's a legend.
But we take whoever we could get, you know, like, the black dude from Magnum PI, the helicopter pilot.
Oh,
what's his name?
He's TC on the show. I cannot remember his actual name. Right, we interviewed that guy, and
he was
only
great.
Known as the black guy
from Magnum PI.
But a great interview.
But he was awesome. And, you know, he's like, hey, man, he is friendly as hell. Come out and see me sometime in California, whatever, you know, wherever the hell it was.
Roger Mosley?
Roger Mosley, yes. Yeah. AKA Stacey, the black guy.
What else did Magnum PI? I had, we interviewed Bradshaw from the WWE.
But he was doing financial stuff at this time.
Yeah, he was. I think he still does some of that.
He rolled in. I mean, it's Bradshaw. But when he came into the studio, first of all, the man is a giant. But he's wearing like a 3-piece suit. I mean, and he was starting down his financial path. But you knew him from WWE, which is one thing. But when we interviewed him, like during the break, this guy's dropping financial knowledge where we're like, oh my God.
Who was the other wrestler we had? I just mentioned other than.
We had Macho Man come in.
Macho Man, but what, he was it awesome. Booker T? Was he on?
Not Booker. I think it was Booker T.
Booker T. We had on.
Who but it's not much different in person.
Stacey Keach, who's a famous actor back in the day. But then we get these every once in a while. Like, okay, for an example, we're going to play a little bit of this. But this is one of those where you go, okay, there was a television show growing up that we enjoyed called Land of the Lost. And it was this obviously fictional show about a family that goes on vacation.
They're on a rafting trip.
Yeah, they're doing a whitewater rafting adventure. All of a sudden, something happens. They go over this waterfall.
They fell 1,000 feet below, Miles.
And when they landed, they are in the dinosaur ages.
The Land of the Lost.
The Land of the Lost.
That is now, where they are. This family of three must survive in a cave, even though there's dinosaurs and reptile people.
Yeah, and keep in mind that they had this little furry thing called Chaka.
Mm-hmm.
They had, either way, there was a movie made sometime later. I think Will Ferrell started
2009, I believe.
Hopefully you never watched that. That was horrible.
It was terrible.
But as a kid, this was a pretty cool show. There was these things called Slee Stacks. Mm-hmm. We couldn't figure out how people couldn't get away with them because they really couldn't move.
They were very slow.
They were immobile. For the most part, but you had your typical family situation. You had your good-looking teenage kid. You had your good-looking teenage girl. Kind of like a Brady Bunch scenario. You had a crush on one of the people in the show.
I wanted to plow Holly something ragged.
So Holly was the girl on the show, and we had an opportunity to interview her, and her real name was Kathleen Coleman, because they were coming out with the entire first season of Land of the Lost on DVD.
Now, by the way, quick side note, that explains why in my garage, in a box, I found the full first season DVDs.
Okay.
It's like a month ago, because I'm like, why do I have these? But now that you bring it up, like, right, that's
so
why.
As soon as our producer Eric says, do you guys want to interview Kathleen Coleman? Who the hell's Kathleen Coleman? She's Holly on Land of the Lost.
Hell yeah, man.
And Steve's like, I'm hot for her. I want to do her as a kid, you know, all this stuff. You know, she was the hot one on the show. We're like, hell yeah, we want to talk to Holly from Land of the Lost. So at this point in time, she was pimping the DVD out for the first season. And I want to say she was talking about writing a book, and we were trying to pry all kinds of stuff out of her.
Just keep in mind, the last time anyone had seen her, any interaction, she was still Holly, a 12-year-old
Land
girl.
Land of the Lost.
Right. Land of Lost. So in your mind, and look, she's a grown-ass woman now, but in your mind, it's still sweet little Holly from Land of the Lost.
And one thing you should also know about us, before we went on the air back then, and this interview is probably 17, 18 years old, we would do helium before we went on the air. So let's go back in time. And listen to a little piece of an interview with Kathleen Coleman talking about eventually Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain, I believe.
How life has changed.
Yes.
For sweet, sweet little Holly.
Holly, yes. Go ahead.
Now, wait a minute. What Hollywood people have you hooked up with? We just want to know one good one. Like, did Adam Rich ever hit on you drunk in a bar? You know, anybody like that?
It's very funny that you bring up Adam. He used to live with us.
What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What circumstance was that? How did that work out? Did Dick Van Dyke kick him out of the house? What happened?
No, my sister was his legal guardian.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get a haircut for that kid?
When he was doing Eight is Enough.
Right.
But I still am in contact with Adam. We're, you know, he used to have a crush on me when we were little.
Hey, screw him. I got the crush. Yeah. I'll take him out.
Get in line, would you please?
So, Holly, did you ever date a Hollywood type back in the day or anything?
Yeah, a couple of them.
Oh, yeah? Oh, come on, spill the dirt. Come on, spill the dirt.
I'm telling you, I have one hell of a story to tell you if you read my book.
Oh, you're not keeping
about
the tease on the book, are you?
Chamberlain. Oh, no. I got a great Wilt Chamberlain story.
You and what? Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Were you one of the 10,000?
Not even. My story's better.
What do you mean it's better?
It is. I'm telling you. It's better.
Come on. Listen, you give us the beans on this. Your
come
book's going to fly
on, Holly
off the shelf.
Kathy Coleman. Come on. Why did they call him the Stilt?
I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but all I can tell you is if you can imagine me driving my Toyota station wagon and Wilt Chamberlain in my back seat.
Uh-oh.
Can you imagine that man? He was like, what was he, 7'2 or something?
Something like that. The question, though, is was anyone else in the back seat with him?
No, he was actually all by himself with his little friend.
With his little friend. Friend?
Yes. Get my drift?
Oh! Wow. How did that work out?
What were you, a taxi driver for a while? Driving a limo there, Kathy?
He actually lost a bet with me, And we were going out for breakfast together and with another girlfriend of mine. And he was in the back seat, and he started getting frisky.
Now, wait a minute. So the bet was whoever lost the bet had to go in the back of the car and take care of themselves?
No, the bet was because he said that more people knew who he was than knew who I was. So we started asking people, and whoever won... or whoever lost had to take the other person out for breakfast. So he wound up losing, and he took me out to breakfast, and he didn't have a car because he came in a taxi or whatever. So we had to fold him into my back seat, and then he found a composite of me, a picture of me in a bikini.
Ooh!
And then he started doing funny business.
Oh, my. You must have looked fantastic in the bikini there, Holly.
Well, no wonder you've been divorced so many times.
I can't believe I told you that.
That's okay, man.
You got no idea the thoughts going through my mind right now.
Hey, oh, my God. I'm going to be in so much trouble.
Hey, Kathy, how hard was it for you to divorce your second husband? If they were your, his parents were basically your second family. I mean, that couldn't have been very easy, huh?
That was my first husband, actually.
Okay, your first husband, yeah.
Yes. And they that was when I was, like, 23 years old, and I just recently lost them, and they have always been like my parents, even though I was divorced from their son. I was probably closer to them than he was.
Wow. And you have two boys, right?
Correct.
And how old are they now? Are they in their teens?
21 and 23. So Christopher and Alfonso.
21 and 23. Dude, yeah.
I started really young.
Yeah, you're able to...
Don't look at me like I've got a... crutch and all that.
Well, I get the feeling I wish I had known you a couple years ago,
So, Kathy, you're a young, hip mom with two kids who are college age. You come home one day, they're home from school, whatever, and they got a big hookah in the middle of the living room, and a couple of their boys are there, and they're smoking that fine California bud.
And you say, move over.
That's what I was thinking, Kathy.
All right.
Go, but I do it. You're a hip mom, aren't you? Knocking down the margaritas.
God almighty. Little Holly from Land of the Law. Yeah, Will Chamberlain's in the back seat masturbating to my bikini picture.
Jesus Christ. What the hell's wrong with us, man?
We just didn't care.
I know.
At all.
God damn. Like, listen to that. I'm just like, oh my God. What do I have to bleep out of this? This is freaking terrible.
Times have changed.
Yes, they have. Yeah, that's
yeah, we used to get in trouble a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think the most trouble we ever got in...
Sunset Thomas.
No, I think, to be honest with you, Sunset Thomas was the one that was, it was bad because...
it was bad.
It was bad because things probably happened that maybe shouldn't have.
Theater of the mind.
Right, I mean, there's a reason I don't really eat bananas anymore. It kind of started from that experience. Because Steve ate the part that was sticking out.
Yeah.
I ate the part that was in there. Anyway.
She was impressed. All the boss said to us after that, the first words out of his mouth, we finished the interview. He called us in the office. We think we've done a bang-up job. We crashed the website to the station. So we walk in the boss's office. He closes the door. Just looks at us. Goes, are you f***ing stupid?
But one day, I can't remember what it was. It was like there was a new website. I think it was like Things That White People Like or whatever it was. It's always tongue-in-cheek. But we decided that day that our question of the day was going to be, why do you hate white people?
Oh, yeah.
And it was always just like people were calling up because yoga. It wasn't like, you know, like there was
and
nothing,
it was all white people that call. Yeah,
there was nothing malicious. Like casseroles. It was nothing malicious. My mom makes casseroles. I hate it. You know what I mean? Like, and it was the show was going great. There was nothing wrong with it. It was obviously very tongue-in-cheek. And then our boss rolls in about 45 minutes into the question and goes, hey, guys, we just got a call from the NAACP.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And they are complaining about your show and about the fact that you are promoting hate. And we're like, we're not promoting hate. It's a joke. It's tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, what do you
we're
about
saying stuff
people?
Like, you know, people use the backboard and people pass the ball off.
Yeah,
assist leaders, you know, stuff like that. This is just jokes, you know what I mean? Like, kickers, you get it, right? But no, they didn't.
That's right, I forgot the NAACP.
We're like, what the fuck? Why they give a crap?
Yeah.
You know, like, come on.
Didn't say what he hate about black people, say what he hate about white people.
Right. It was just,
tell them to call.
Yeah, we had all kinds of stuff. You know, like Rick Astley probably back then. There was all kinds of stuff to hate about white people. Anyway, we'll dig up some more of these and play them back for you if we can find them. And they're actually not too blue, so to speak. A lot of this stuff is pretty bad. Talking about now the cancel culture is just like, Jesus Christ. We put this stuff out, like, who did that? Where were they? You know, well, it's 20 years ago. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You're out of here. There you go. Another great story never told.
You've been listening to The Greatest Story Never Told with Miles and Thrill on radio.com.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.